It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so now that that's out of the way, we'll start again. For those of you just joining us, which everybody, we thought we didn't have good recording, so you missed about 15 seconds of some of our best material ever.
Ever.
Consisting mostly of, so can you hear that? I don't know, can you hear that? Oh, Twiglet, can we help you? Did you need something, kitten? Why don't you go bug your mom? All
right. It's funny for you to call this cat a kitten.
Man,
this
is a we never could call Ezzy a kitten because of that fact, that he is the kitten. Even though he's now 13 and weighs probably about 18 pounds.
Big cat.
He's a lot thinner than he was, though. He used to weigh like 20. I'm guessing 18, but he's thinner.
I didn't mean fat cat. I mean
no,
large.
He was a fat cat, though.
He's a large tom cat.
Yes. Get in. No, come on. Come on. Did this last time.
He's sitting right on Tony's chest. Like,
hello. And welcome
Why now?
The Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that the late Roger Ebert once referred to as the unending attempt of... No, that wasn't the quote. It was the awkward... how did it go? I haven't looked it up in years. He basically said we're humanity's breakup letter to itself. But there was a bit in the quote about how, like, interminably long it also was. Anyway, look it up. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 226, I do believe.
And this is Twiglet. It was huge.
He almost never comes over here, much less comes to sit on your chest.
The other time he did, this is where he sat and fucked everything up. I think he gets confused. Because this is where he sits on Trish. He's way into laying on boobs. But I don't have any boobs. I do. But not of significance. I think he's just confused. But anyway, I got him here. So, for those of you just joining us, let me tell you how this works. We have a cat. He's really big. He's sitting on my chest. We also have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people like you, specifically you, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that, that the hat on its own magically transmogrifies into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. I literally researched, like, E-words for just this thing.
And now you can't remember.
And I've lost them all, except the ones that I always use. Elephantine, egalitarian, ersatz, economical, no, eponymous, that was the one I wanted. Eponymous servants, think about that too long. Draw the note cards out of the hat randomly, read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored. Do that for about an hour. That's the whole show. So welcome to that. We've been doing it 226 times. So
in a row.
Yeah.
Every Thursday.
That's what's wrong with society.
Every Thursday since St. Patrick's Day.
2011. Yep. So how was your week, William?
How was my week? Let me think. Wait, 4th of July happened,
yeah, 4th
right?
of July happened, yes.
Okay, so here in Iowa, if you don't know, there are a number of natural lakes. There are a ton more reservoirs than artificial lakes, tons of them.
I didn't know.
kind of an embarrassing number of artificial lakes, actually.
I try not to tell people because of the shame.
But in northern Iowa, that's, back in the day, it used to be kind of a wetland almost all the way across. And so you've got what they call the Iowa Great Lakes, Lake Okoboji, Spirit Lake, and so on. Mm. South of there is Storm Lake. Almost due north of here is Clear Lake, Iowa. It's a glacial lake, spring fed. So when it was first discovered by human beings, whether those human beings be native or European in origin, the lake was clear.
Ah, hence the name.
Yes, because you know the spring is constantly pushing out all of the bad things.
But a couple hundred years of pooping in it.
Well, it's not quite as clear anymore. Now, there are people like...
I just assumed it was... They thought it was so evident what it was. They're like, that's clearly a lake.
No.
Like, there's no pond or
it's
ocean.
It's not the only...
It's clear as a lake.
It's not the only spring-fed natural lake. I believe Spirit Lake is the same. And it also used to be quite clear. But I mean, if you're a 50-year-old from Clear Lake, you still remember it being clear. It's only recently that, you know, agricultural pollution and all kinds of other things have really kind of made it murky. But anyway, Clear Lake...
I wanted to make a joke about dementia, but 50, I can't really pull that off.
There's a town around the lake, not all the way around, just mostly on the northeastern section
called
of it.
Carson City, Nevada.
And this town takes the 4th of July more seriously than any town I've ever visited in my life.
That's saying something.
It is saying something. You know, you hear people saying happy 4th to one another on the street, much like people say Merry Christmas at Christmas time just about everywhere else.
But they do say happy 4th. They don't say happy Independence Day.
Oh, that's a good question.
There was a
Maybe
Facebook,
I wasn't noticing that.
A Facebook person on my mother-in-law's feed went on a rant about how people should call it Independence Day, not the 4th of July, which confused the hell out of me, because I've never in my life, even when we used to celebrate it as a really big deal, called it Independence Day. I called it 4th of July.
Yeah. No, they say happy 4th. But what they do is they, at Clear Lake, they send these barges out onto the lake to shoot their fireworks. So if you have a house on the lake, like my spouse's family does, you can sit on the dock and you get a really good view of the fireworks. And the only way to get a better view is if you're in a boat out on the lake, which you can do. You can take your boat out on the lake and get this spectacular view of the fireworks. And the fireworks are very, very good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly.
They easily match the best I've ever seen. But this is the first time I was ever at Clear Lake on the 4th.
Oh.
As many years as we've been together, almost 17 years now, 18 years, I've never been up there for 4th of July, even though that was sort of a big deal for the family. Obviously, my spouse also didn't go to this thing for many years. But so that was a lot of fun. And I met a lot of her family that I'd never met before.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which was really great. I spent some time with some family that I did know, but I haven't seen her father. We don't see him very often, but he happened to be up. And brother, who is in California, doesn't get over very often, was there, so I got to meet him. So a lot of her dad's side of the family, who I hadn't previously met. So that's cool. And she's got quite a long history, family history there. Like her father was, her mother's dad was a weatherman in that area and was very well known. You know how weathermen can get pretty popular.
I have heard it said.
Get some local celebrity, you know. And but his family goes back quite a ways. There's this big historical house in town that her great-great-grandfather built and owned. And so there's a lot of family history there that I enjoy going there to research and see. So we were there for like 3 or 4 days, and her family was up there, so that was really nice. But also, people who listen to my other podcasts might recognize...
Grape Shot?
Screenshots.
Okay.
The last couple ones we featured a local police officer, Captain Pete Roth.
Because you got arrested during...
No, he's an old friend of the family. We knew him. He worked at Adventureland back in the day. You know, we were all you know,
come on over to Adventureland.
Like 30 years ago is when we met him.
So the jingle is, come on over to Adventureland, you're going to have a fun-filled day.
Yeah.
But if you just listen, if you aren't paying just right enough attention, it sounds like they sing, come on over to Adventureland, you're going to have a fucking day.
Really?
It does to me. I don't know why. To the degree that, like, sometimes that's what, it, like, if I've seen the commercial too much, I'm like, come on over to Adventureland. You're going to have a fucking day. And I don't even know what that means. Like, that's an adjective you need.
Anyway.
Like, you know, today was really a fucking day.
So this guy's been a friend of the family for 30 years. He's my oldest brother's best friend. He was the best man at my brother's wedding. And
he's Batman.
And he was a captain of the campus police here for the last, I don't know, 5 or 10 years.
Okay.
Well, after we get back, we find out we didn't make it to the parade or anything up at Clear Lake. But when we get back, we find out that he was just hired as the chief of police in Clear Lake.
Ooh.
Which was really cool.
So it's good you got out of there.
Well, I think he was at the parade or in the parade or something. And mm-hmm. if we'd gone to the parade, we would have seen him and totally been surprised. So I congratulate Pete. He totally deserves
good
it.
Good job,
he's a,
Pete.
He's a great...
I seriously doubt you listen, but congratulations.
He's a great guy and a great cop.
See, the only other, like, cop... like, I don't know cop. I haven't, like...
You're not acquainted with any police officers?
I'm not particularly. But the closest thing I have is my sixth grade teacher, who I don't know if I talked about, but was a horrible teacher who legit traumatized me in many ways, gleefully. Even as a sixth grader, I recall saying, he shouldn't be a sixth grade teacher, he's less mature than a sixth grader. went on to be a cop, which part of me was like super unsurprised, because he seems like the kind of guy who would become a cop for the wrong reasons. And then years later, not long ago, basically he became like the county sheriff or something, and eventually had to leave in scandal because of, I think, something involving extramarital affairs. I don't know. So my association with local cops is weird.
Well,
and I should say this is local in Oregon, so yeah. Don't worry.
Well,
here,
Pete. Pete's
other than that, my entire experience with cops is TV and one speeding ticket and one jaywalking.
Pete is just the kind of guy you want to be a police officer. He's a really good guy. But, I mean, I can think of at least two people. I've got a cousin. I think it's a third cousin. His name's Shane Wright. He's a police officer. A friend of the family was for a long time. I don't know if he still is, if he's retired or not. I don't know. He was a state trooper, an Iowa state trooper.
I see you. I mean, I feel like
a lot of police officers.
Good ones. In alternate universes that are not too far afield from this timeline, you're a cop.
I don't know.
I totally could see that.
Really?
I'm not saying right next door, but yeah, close.
You can think of a parallel universe where I could possibly shoot somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can't.
It's really hard to imagine.
I mean, mostly you tase them, but, you know.
So yeah, it was a really good fourth. Like I said, it was a first for me to go up there, and it'd been a long time since my spouse had been up there, so she was glad to be up there, and we saw all kinds of family, and we did some genealogy research, which was fun, and we learned all kinds of new, cool things about her ancestry up there. So it was a great time.
Nice.
But you've got a lot to talk about because you had the what was it you said you were going to do? I forgot now. You were going to your niece and nephew. Didn't you do something with them?
Didn't we already talk about? No,
no. You
we
said
had
you were
to
going
record.
To do it. Yeah.
It's been 2 weeks. It hasn't been 1 week.
That's right. Because
oh my goodness, this is going to be a mess. There's too much to talk about. Oh, because House on the Rock. Oh my.
Oh
goodness.
Yeah. Did you want to see?
Oh,
that's right.
It
was House on the Rock.
We're not going to get to any questions. Holy shit! I already had several things that I'm like, we got to talk about. These going to take up.
Well,
like,
I probably shouldn't.
I totally even forgot
about
this stuff.
Anything.
Yeah, so I had that weekend.
Yeah.
First off, right off the bat, I want to say, it was really fun, and my niece and nephew were the best behaved I have ever encountered them being. It was amazing. They didn't fight with each other at all.
Wow.
That has never happened since the beginning of the universe. And in fact, this last weekend when we went up to Chicolati, they were way worse. So I think some of it was the whole, you know, with other people. And, you know, like, other humans have experienced this. You probably have not. When you're a kid and your friend comes for dinner, your friend is good and like takes their dishes to the sink and all that stuff. And your parents are like, why can't you be more like your friend? And you go to their house and they're totally not like that, but you're good. And so I think some of it may have been that vibe. And some, I don't know, maybe just was fun or whatever, but they were really great. And so that was really awesome.
Yeah.
The House on the Rock. Holy shit.
That can mean a lot of things.
I know. Well, here's the thing. Your prediction, would you care to reiterate your prediction as to how I would react to The House on the Rock? You did.
I said that...
You were pretty confident of a limited number of outcomes.
Well, I thought, it's a very long tour, and there's no way to get out of it, so it can seem very long. I seem to remember saying something like that, but I don't remember what else I said.
What you in fact said was that you were confident I would either really love it or really hate
it. Yeah, one of the two.
Nothing in between.
Yeah, that is what I said.
And you were wrong and right, because the answer is yes. Really loved it, really hated it.
Both?
Yes.
So there wasn't anything between, but it wasn't either or. How did you get both out of it?
Well... this is such a process. House on the Rock, for those who have never been.
And I've never been, so.
You absolutely should go.
That's what I
keep, you absolutely should
people go. Keep telling me that.
But there's a lot of things you need to know going in here. House on the Rock, there was a guy, Alex, I want to say Duggar, but that's the other people. Alex something, I don't know. there was this rock, this big, tall, like plateau kind of rock that was called Deer Shelter Rock. And he, I guess, owned the land and decided he was going to fucking build a house on it. So he did, and he was a weirdo, so he built a really freaky house and just kept working on it and building new crazy things into it and collecting stuff and had weird collections and stuff. And so here's the crazy house, and here's all of his weird stuff. He's dead now, whatever. I think in the 1960s, he finally opened it to the public because people were like, dude, you have a freak show here. And he's like, okay, we'll let people see. So now he's dead. Now it's just like a place. So you go there. There's three sections. They are called Section 1, Section 2, and Section 3.
Oh, how creative.
We bought tickets for the whole shebang, the ultimate tour, all three sections.
Okay.
Which they tell you, maybe 3.5 hours.
Really?
They are not lying.
Jeez.
So we start. And you go outside, and they're like, somebody will check your ticket at some point, but at this point, you can just sort of walk. And there's serious walkways going down, 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 down. It's all very accessible. But to get down lower, where there's these cool sort of Asian-inspired gardens, and there's koi ponds, and it's really gorgeous. Mm. And weird sculptures. Lots of dragons around. That's kind of cool.
Okay.
And all this stuff, and it's fun. And then eventually, you go inside a building, and here you start... It's the museum-y stuff. So here's pictures of the work on the house, and here's samples of some of the stuff that was in it, and here's all sorts of fun details about the crazy shit he did while he was doing it, and all this, and you're going through this, and then there's some really cool things, and you're going along, and it's like a continued section one. Like, okay, I'm going down the thing, and then, after we've done this for like a half hour, there's a guy who wants to look at our tickets. And we're like, all right, so this was section one. Where's section two? He's like, no. This is just the start of section one. Section one goes that way, and he points to these doors, and you go up long ass walkways into the actual house. House is amazing. I love this house. It's really crazy. It has been everything is covered in carpet, so you don't hurt yourself, because it's got real like small ceilings and things at odd angles and stuff. But it's a very cool place. Tons of cool places that you would hang out. Lots of interesting furniture. Lots of weird sort of collections. Fireplaces everywhere. It's just amazing. And like I told you, it's on this rock. We found at least two of them, and there's no mention of them. Safes built into the rock, where somebody like carved a hole in the rock and then stuck a safe door on the front of it. Really weird shit. But it's all really fascinating and interesting, and there's player piano. I've seen player pianos. Why is this so amazing to me? And I realized it was a player grand piano. I had never seen that before. Mm. That was really amazing and all this stuff. Long walk, though. A lot of walking. I'm very tired at the end. We get out. And I'm like, okay. Like, wow, that was rough. But, you know, it was worth it. So, how did you break up the sections? Because we're at the same guy. It leads you back to the same place. He's like, no. That was section one. That's the shortest of our sections. And so we went on. Section two and three, kind of similar. In that, they're not at the house. What happened, I told you he had weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He did have weird stuff. But at some point, somebody got the idea that basically any time they had weird shit, let's schlep it to House on the Rock, because people will look at it.
Okay.
So there's just so much stuff. Collections of the weird... I'm getting to that part. Collections of the weirdest shit ever.
Not in the house?
No. I mean, there was some stuff in the house, but this is elsewhere. And huge buildings that they've built for this, and like weird... And like there's a sculpture of a whale fighting an octopus, and it was really kind of cool, and we looked at it, and like there's a boat inside the whale's mouth and all that. And then we walked down the hall, and there's a three-story version of that same thing. And it's like Walled Drug, but creepier, which I say kind of as a compliment, but it very much to me, and I believe the producer has this vibe of, it feels commercialist, just like, here's a bunch of weird shit we threw together because we knew people would pay to look at it.
Yeah.
And section three, and at the end of section two, which is very long, you get to see the world's largest carousel.
Yeah. Because
that's a thing.
Yeah, I've heard
of it. You can't ride on it.
Wasn't that mentioned in American Gods? Isn't that?
Possibly. I haven't read American Gods in ages, but I think
that's what was mentioned.
And also in that same room, they had a bunch of angels, which were basically mannequins that they had glued wings onto, and they were really creepy. just overhead. But so the world's largest carousel. You can't ride on it, but you can see it. It's interesting. It's very loud, all this stuff. And then you go through essentially a devil's mouth into the third section. Which is, I don't even know, the lights were really dim in a lot of it. It was just like lots of musical instrument. I don't know. Eventually you get to carousels that are like 2-3 stories tall, but they're teeny ones, so they're basically doll-sized, and they've put dolls on them. So many dolls. So many creepy dolls. Somebody ahead of us in line said out loud, how is it that dolls still exist other places in the world when they're clearly all here? And it was just insane. And, of course, in section two, you eventually get into this part. You're going along, you're dead tired, and you smell cheese and spices. You're like, what is that? And you get into this big area where you can look around, but they also have a pizza place and an ice cream place there.
No way.
And you will get pizza and ice cream, even if they charge you $100 for it, because at that point you're dying, and it's like an oasis in the desert. And so we didn't have pizza, but we had ice cream. And you go through all this, and it just so tired, so worn out. And the kids, because we sat down, we all had a heart-to-heart talk about if we really wanted to do section three. And the kids did, so we're like, okay, we'll do it. But I almost died. Oh, my God. And the next day, my back was a disaster. They went to the aquarium. I had to go home because I'm like, I can't walk anymore. I missed the gym for the next 2 days because I was just
aquarium?
So wiped out. The Mississippi River Museum and Aquarium in Dubuque.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is pretty cool, too. Yeah. We went there for lunch, and so I saw part of it. And they did that. But so, yeah, so almost freaking killed us. I recommend section one, not so much the others, but you might like the others. I don't know. In general, I feel you will like it. The infinity room in the house was fairly cool. Section three was all the carousels. There's also a shit ton of dollhouses in there. I don't know. At that point, a lot of stuff blurred in my mind.
Infinity room,
which I had sort of heard about, is this room. You go out, and it looks like it goes on forever. They set it up that way. So you can walk a long ways out, and then it keeps going, but it's a trick of perspective. So it actually is getting into a small point, and it just looks like it's going forever. And you can only walk so far out there. And it just sticks out of the house, and it's way above everything. So you're like probably like 80 feet off the ground or something, because you're on top of the house, on top of the rock, and there's just trees and stuff. But I'm like, you know, there's pillars or something to hold them. So, but I'm still, it's still free because it moves when you get far enough out, enough people, it moves a little bit. I was like, oh, and there's a spot at the end where you can look through glass straight down. Mm-hmm. I did that. I'm like, holy crap. It's not till later we're outside the house. There is nothing holding that fucker up. The Infinity Room, and you can see all the like classic pictures of House on the Rock are of the Infinity Room sticking out from it.
Yeah, yeah.
It has no pillars. It is just out there. And I'm like, holy, I don't even think I would have gone out there if I had known that. Holy crap. But it's very cool. Yeah, I recommend Section 1 especially. But yeah, I definitely think you should check it out. I think you would find it very interesting. I think there would be a lot of historic stuff you would like there. But yeah, it's a little crazy. All right, and then last weekend, 4th of July weekend, went home to the in-laws' house. I didn't go see any fireworks because I like fireworks, but not enough to spend the time before and after them. Before, when you're sitting around waiting in the heat and getting eaten by bugs, and after, when you're trying to get your car out of the damn lot till 3 in the morning.
Right.
If I could teleport, I would go to every fireworks show, but it wasn't worth it, so I didn't do it. So the family went. And it's good. When we go home, Trish can take other people. When we're here, it's just me. She drags me along.
Right.
But not a lot happened there. Gaming is still happening, and that is going okay. We're still sort of feeling our way through that, but I think it's working good. I'm still pretty excited about that. I did a lot of work when I was home this weekend on aids for me. I have a Excel spreadsheet I made for combat, and I put stuff together so it works better. But anyway, we got to get to the things I want to talk about. It's two things. The first is today at lunch, we went to Lucky's Market.
Okay.
Now, for those of you playing at home, Lucky's Market is a new supermarket that is open here. It is a chain that was originally based out of Boulder, Colorado, apparently. Our mall, just down the street from here, Sycamore Mall, is being reimagined as the Iowa Marketplace. And one of the central things is this Lucky's Market, and it opened July 1st, I believe. And I wanted to wait a while because everybody's real excited about it and everything, but Trish wanted to go there today for lunch, so we went there for today. And it is really crazy right now. Have you been yet?
No.
You should go.
Hadn't even heard.
Yes, you should go.
Why?
Well, it's going to give the co-op a run for its money, I'll tell you that right now.
No kidding.
It is all local sourced, organic.
Wow.
I'll put it this way. In the candy section, which is enormous, you can buy GMO-free gummy bears in bulk. That should be all I need to say right there. Yes.
That should be all you need to say.
Right there. But here's the thing. It's got a secret.
Oh.
I don't know what it is yet, though.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's too good. It's too perfect. It's all locally grown, organic stuff. The prices are ridiculously good. You can get, they have local, like, craft beers and stuff on tap. And it's $2 for a pint of beer or $3 for a glass of wine. And you can get it and do your shopping while you're drinking it, if you want to. All the times. And everything is really cheap. They have really good pizza. They make everything is, like, homemade there. They have all these baked goods that they say are made within a mile of the store. The produce is gorgeous and cheap and local and... It's amazing, and everybody looks at, they do. They have a station where they fresh squeeze a variety of different kinds of juice daily. It's amazing.
Yeah, New Pie used to do that, and they don't anymore.
Yeah, and there's no membership fee for this or anything. It's, I mean, I assume it's, once it's established, the prices will probably go up a bit, but they'd have to go up pretty high to offset the rest. So there has to be something. There have to be bodies under it, or it's a cult, or they're poisoning us, or something.
Well, they're really, really lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're really lucky, you can pass the savings on to everyone else.
Well, and it's, I mean, all the workers seemed really happy working there. Oh, and here's weird shit. So, like, there's free Wi-Fi, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in the area where you can, like, eat the food that you have bought, they have old console video game, like the ones that were a table,
yeah.
You know, of Ms. Pac-Man. They have two of them. That don't require quarters. You can just play them.
No
way. Just sitting there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That, it's like a hipster dream. The whole thing. is just like fucking hipster paradise. And I'm also just like $2 pints of really good draft beer. Yeah, I could just live there. Like, what the hell? And they have a deal that's like two slices of pizza, which is huge pizza that they make there with their sausage that they make in-house and all this stuff. Two slices of pizza and a pint of beer for $5.
What?
And I'm just like,
really?
It was $2. It was $4 just for the pizza. But yeah, $5 for that.
Huh.
And I should tell you, it's $2 for a pint of basically anything they've got. Because they have, you know, pops and stuff like that. And they have iced coffee or iced tea and things like that, including Millstream root beer on tap. $2 for a pint of that. It's insane. It's ridiculous. They had, in the bulk area with all the candy, they have a bunch of bulk candy. They had dark chocolate covered pistachios.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And GMO free gummy bears.
Wow.
It's insane. There's something wrong. I don't know what it is. Hidden somewhere in the back.
Well, they're a chain, you said. Evil. So.
But yeah, but a small chain. Like, really? That started in like 03. And there, well, it started out of Boulder. I don't know. I was looking at their website. There may be a dozen locations throughout the country.
Oh, but it can be enough. I mean, New Pioneer Co-op's got 3.
Yeah. Wait, where's the third one? There's downtown.
Don't they have one in Cedar Rapids now?
Do they? Oh, I don't know.
Well, maybe they don't. I don't know.
But
yeah, not enough to have insane. A lot of, not a huge amount of buying power.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the co-op survived Bread Garden, so it can probably survive this. But it's too good. I'm really kind of freaked out by it. But it's also very busy right now. We asked, we're like, is it always this crazy at lunch? And she's like, this is light today. So we'll see. But so that was the thing. But here's the most important topic. Now we have Ezzy here. Hello, Ezzy. All right.
Here's the most important topic.
The most important topic. Saw a movie last night.
Okay. Oh,
part of date night, though, went to the crepe place downtown. Have you ever been to the crepe place?
No.
Crepes Deluxe?
You haven't talked about it before?
I've never been before.
Oh, okay.
I would recommend it. It was very nice. Very tasty stuff.
Okay.
And you can totally get vegetarian. Yeah. You should totally go. It's really nice. Anyway, but then we came back here and we watched a movie. We watched Iron Sky.
Oh.
In fact, the director's cut of Iron Sky.
Yeah, I told you about that one.
Yes. Well, and actually long ago, I already had heard of it.
Yeah.
Long ago, and me and everybody who else who heard of it were like, holy shit. For those of you who don't know, it's a movie about Nazi moonbase. 1945, some Nazis went up to the moon, hit on the dark side of the moon, and now they're going to come back and Nazify everything. Hijinks ensue. And the trailers came out, and we're like, holy shit. And then people saw it, and I had heard that it was sort of not that good and sort of wasted its premise and everything like that. But you said that you sort of disagreed and that you thought I should check it out.
Yeah, I liked it.
Okay. So that brought me back to it. Full disclosure again, I saw the director's cut. Both the regular and the director's cut are on Netflix Instant, so you can watch them.
Yeah, yeah.
And you liked it.
I did like it, yeah.
I thoroughly hated it.
Why? What was wrong with it?
No, what was right with it? Here's the thing. It had 3 funny jokes, for starters. It had exactly 3. It was just dumb. It's very European. It sort of is a basically a European indie film.
Yeah.
It's very European in its vibe, but it's just not. It wasn't funny. The effects were not interesting. The story was dumb. And I mean, I understand. It's about a Nazi moon base. I was not expecting seriousness. I was expecting satire. And it's the most tone-deaf, heavy-handed satire in the goddamn world. And what's really sad is it passes the Bechdel test. But it has the worst female characters ever. That's exactly 3 female characters, and they're all awful in different ways. It's got crazy racist over time. And I mean, this is a movie making fun of the Nazis mm-hmm. for being, among other things, racist. And it's still super fucking racist.
Really?
How? It has the most caricaturish black man ever. Oh, well,
yes. But I thought that was making fun of... I thought that was making fun of, like, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
no, it...
You didn't think so?
No.
So maybe I read a lot of satire and tongue-in-cheek where there isn't any. It was
satire,
but
it's like Mark Millar satire. It's like they're using satire as a flag to just do whatever the fuck they want. Mm. And it was just so tone-deaf and such a mess. And yeah, it had exactly 3 funny jokes, one of which being the homage to the famous bunker scene.
Yes.
That was amazing.
Love that.
I adored that. By the way, minor spoilers for Iron Sky here, so fucking deal. The second one is when North Korea tries to take credit for the spaceships. That was hilarious. The Nazis are showing up in space, and nobody knows who they are, and everybody in the UN is accusing each other. And finally, the North Korean guy stands up and says, it's ours.
And nobody
the fearless does. Leader designed and built these himself, and they literally they laugh him down. It. That was fun. And after the Americans turn out to secretly have made this super space warship, that's not so funny. But then when it is struggling and needs assistance, and suddenly every other country launches their secretly hidden armed warship, and the president is like, what is it? What? You didn't tell us about this. You're not supposed... This is against the treaty. And, like, literally every country has secretly been building a spaceship. That was also pretty funny. Otherwise... Trish just today was like, you didn't find the Sarah Palin thing? Because the president is clearly Sarah Palin.
Except with a southern accent rather than an
Alaskan accent.
Yeah. Or whatever an accent she's got.
And I was like, no, but to be fair, I haven't found Sarah Palin funny in a really long time. and then the other female character who's not a Nazi or Sarah Palin was terrible.
Okay, but...
Was super terrible.
The reason I liked it was because... I don't know. To me, I always felt very aware of the fact that it was made by someone not an American making some commentary about America. That I thought it was very. I mean, sometimes, like you say, it was heavy-handed, but I thought a lot of times it was pretty subtle. I don't.
Yeah.
Know.
See, I didn't get that. The whole thing it alternates between showing how just humans suck. And constant, they're Nazis, aren't they dumb? They're Nazis, aren't they racist? Look how racist and dumb these Nazis are. Oh, look, this Nazi got hit in the balls. Isn't that funny? Seriously, there's like 4 ball shots in that movie.
Was there? See, yeah. I don't remember any of that.
There's an entire... The entire arc of one character is that she just about blows up the moon because a guy didn't fuck her. And in fact, he's disappointed when he dies.
Right.
She's like, did he suffer?
Yeah,
the whole storyline there with the presidential campaign and everything with the not, I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
I get what you're
going for, but that patently wouldn't.
Yeah. These are things that I also didn't like very much either, but I like the design of it. I thought the effects were fine. You didn't like the effects?
No, I should rephrase. I was not blown away by the effects. Well, the effects were quite adequate.
Yeah.
And a couple of places were clever. A couple of places a little bit. but nothing to write home about. Not worth basing a movie on.
Hmm.
I think here's part of it. You could do some amazing shit with the premise of Nazi Moonbase.
Okay, well, see...
That's just ripe with material. Right. As a satire.
I don't even know what those things are. See, I went in... I was a total blank slate going into this. I had the lowest expectations you can imagine. I had no idea of what you... Like you just said, I don't know what you can do with a Nazi moon base satire. Why? I have no idea. So I was impressed that it was even a little bit... I mean, I thought it was really great. But, again, my expectations were really low. So maybe if it doesn't hold up, maybe if I watched it again, I wouldn't think...
I don't
think,
know. I'm straight up mad at you now for that. That was awful.
I seem to recall Jazz saw it and thought it was good, but...
Well, Jazz, I'm sure she will tell us then. Get on the blog. Everybody else go to the blog. See what Jazz has to say
about
it.
But to me, most of
Jazz explained it to me because I just fucking
most of the things that I found offensive, I thought were part of the joke.
And they were, but they were still just tone deaf. They were hack. That's the thing. I was not particularly offended by the movie. There was a bunch of offensive shit in it, but it was cheap-ass stuff. So either it was some of the lamest insults ever, or it was some of the lamest satire ever. Either way, it was just hack stuff.
I see what you're saying.
Oh, this, you know, the female Nazi believes that it's all about love, and oh, look, this Nazi is an asshole. Oh, look, the Nazis betray each other, like... Oh, look, they're racist, and they really think the skin color makes a difference. Because another spoiler alert, the one black guy in it, they turn him white in the belief that this then makes him effectively a Nazi. They use albinizer. Not making that up. Fucking inject him with something called albinizer.
Which, see, now, you're talking about it like it's just ridiculous and stupid, and I thought it was clever and funny.
I chuckled at the end. At the end. Not originally. At the end, when he's black again, and you look, and in his hand is a bottle called D-albinizer. I chuckled at that. But that was it. No, just awful. But, I mean, make your own call, because it's not that long, and it's on
well,
Netflix.
And
maybe the director's not... maybe the director's cut is worse.
Now, listen.
Maybe if I'd seen the original cut, it would have been better.
I would never argue that the satire was particularly sophisticated. I mean, like, the stuff... everything that they had to say about, say, racism wasn't like, you know, I think South Park is more clever with its satire along these lines.
South Park's incredibly clever.
Yeah, far more. So it's not that it's sophisticated or clever to a huge degree. It's that, I don't know, to me, the satirical aspects along with the kind of outrageous premise along with what I thought were some really interesting and well-done design elements just came together to make something that wasn't super challenging, wasn't super sophisticated, but was entertaining.
Yeah, no, I was not entertained.
Okay.
I may be becoming something of a comedy snob, and that may be part of it.
Well.
But the action wasn't that impressive. The set pieces were cool, but I've seen them before. I'll put it this way. Snowpiercer did better with the effects. And you know how I fucking feel about Snowpiercer. But, I mean, the effects were cool. The giant spaceship at the end, the gear thing, and that was kind of neat. Just enjoy. It was a very steampunk vibe, Big Shock. I don't know. You guys be the judge. Everybody, well, can't watch it for free. Most of you, I'm guessing, have Netflix. Watch it. Tell us what you think. Because very seldom are we... I feel like this is a weird one for us.
Well, I'm not even sure why I suggested you see it. I suppose...
the thing. I would not for a second have said you would have liked this movie.
Oh. Well, I mean, like the like you said, the I thought the reference to the bunker thing was...
That was amazing.
Very subtle.
Yes. And that was the thing. As soon as she said, everybody's in that apartment, I'm like, holy shit. I know what this is. Holy shit. That was awesome. Like I said, three really good jokes. And the North Korea thing was hilarious. And honestly, just by the fact that I didn't see it coming, when literally all the other countries are sending out their spaceships to go help, I was like, okay, that's pretty funny. But,
yeah. They're all armed.
Yes. Okay, who... No, they're not all armed. She says, who here... didn't arm their spaceship, and Finland raises its
Finland,
hand.
Which is hilarious because the director's from Finland.
Ah, there were a lot of countries involved in this. Germany was involved, Norway was involved, but it has that European indie feel. I'll put it this way, with a little bit of tweaking to make it like a dream sequence or some shit, this totally could have been a two-part episode of Lex. For those of you who ever saw the show Lex, like that. Sits really well in how this made sense.
It seemed to me something that people who aren't from America would think was totally hilarious.
And I don't know, like in terms of it was a very European thing, and definitely take shots at the United States. And yeah, for me it felt very European, which is, I feel like is a useless statement to say, but that's the best way I can describe it. I'm like, I've seen stuff that was done mostly by European studios, and there's a certain vibe and feel to it, and this had it. And it has Udo Kier in it, because of course it does. I'm not sure you would be allowed to make a movie like this without Udo Kier in it. European-made film about a Nazi, about Nazis in general, you have to have Udo Kier. And he does. Now, what is really funny is the main bad guy, Herr Adler, who's a standard tall, whatever. I constantly am thinking of him as Ty Pennington, the guy who plays Phil Dunphy on Modern Family. They don't look that much alike, but I'm constantly thinking of him that way. And it takes me about a half hour into the movie where I realize, like, 3 days before, I saw a sketch out of Key and Peele where Ty Pennington was playing a Nazi officer.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God, that's where I'm getting from. So it helped to see him as Ty Pennington, so that was kind of fun. But, yeah, go and see it yourself, people. You got Netflix. Check it out. Oh, while we're at it, though, and this is for you, too, because I don't think you've done it yet. I was cruising around the documentaries. Netflix now has, on its instant watch, Stories We Tell, which is a documentary I've talked about on here before that you absolutely should see. It's really amazing.
Okay.
So, highly recommend that. Stories We Tell is on instant watch. Check that shit out.
Stories We Tell.
Yes. All right, we got some time left, so, you know, hat.
Okay. Well.
Delve into them.
I also like Ghost Rider.
Yeah. I don't believe that. I believe you say that to spite me.
Oh, no, I do like it.
Like my sister-in-law. I don't believe anybody really likes it, but they say it to get at me.
No, I do like it.
All right.
Do you have a list of all prior questions pulled from the hat?
No, fuck you.
No, we do not.
We do not. Here's the deal. Who's it from? Is this anonymous? All right. Here's the deal. Too scared to sign your name, because you know the answer to this, and you know I'm going to give you shit for it. In the beginning, there was darkness. Sorry, too far back. In the beginning of this podcast, we didn't keep track.
No, not even in the notes.
Not at all. This bothered people. But we didn't care, as with most things. But eventually it bothered people enough that we cared. So, started putting them in the notes. However, we can only control what questions are drawn and asked in this universe. So we're unable to tell you what ones are drawn in the alternate universe. So, starting at a certain point, they are documented in the show notes, except for the mystery ones.
Yeah.
And then you're out of luck. So that's not helpful at all.
Next.
Yep. This one's from Beth.
Hello, Beth.
Beth. This is interesting. I feel like I've had conversations around this recently. How concerned should the average person be about identity theft? What should they do to prevent it?
The average person.
So not you.
Well, I mean, I think identity theft is like a lot of crimes. It's probably not, I mean, you know, the statistics probably show that it doesn't happen to the average person. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
It's not happening to every other person.
I have, is that if it's not happening to me, I don't feel it. So, like, antivirus software on the computer. I never had antivirus software on any of my computers until I got a virus and fucked up my computer.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like this. You know, I'm not going to say there's no fire safety, but we don't work real hard. You know, we're not doing the test your smoke detectors and stuff like that in my house, and we probably should, and it'll burn down, and then I'll worry about it. And so it's like, I don't do a lot about identity theft, but if somebody steals my identity, then I'll probably care.
I don't know what the statistics are, but I have a feeling it's like most crimes. There's going to be a significant portion, or maybe even the majority of people, who are going to go their whole lives without having this be a problem.
But as is similar with guns, the vast majority of people who are victims of identity theft are people who actually maintain identities within their own home. So stats are just going to tell you, don't do that. If you don't have an identity, it can't be stolen.
Right.
And if you do have one, keep it locked up so your kids don't play with it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And don't keep it loaded.
But, and actually, the people, sort of ironically, kind of going along with what you just said, it is true that a lot of people who have problems with identity theft are sometimes doing somewhat careless things with their devices or with their passwords or whatever, what have you. But like all of these things, there are some simple things you can do to protect yourself. And even if statistically speaking, it's not overwhelmingly likely it's going to happen to you, since it's so simple to avoid these things, it's kind of like locking your door. I mean, the statistics that statistical likelihood someone's actually going to walk into your house at night while it's not locked is really small.
But the difficulty of locking your door is incredibly small.
Yeah, exactly. Now, as I say that, I do not know what practical steps one can take. All I know is, as I've researched it, it always seems pretty straightforward and simple. And even though it's nothing that I've personally gone out and done myself.
Yeah. I would say I protect from what, as an umbrella term, I would consider the phishing scams, which to me are the most troublesome one. Like the things where if anybody's asking me for information, I'm not giving it to them unless I'm pretty confident there's a reason,
sure.
Which includes email, phone. I don't go to weird links. I'll go to weird links at work. not that I'll like look at porn at work, but like I'm way less concerned about that because I'm like, it's my work computer. Something happens to it, they gotta fix it. I'm not paying for it. But it also comes up a lot less at work. I get way fewer, you know, emails about herbal drugs that I can get cheap from Mexico on my computer.
Yeah. Well, and some things are fairly straight. I mean, that we do it at my house. Like we've got, you know, our wireless or our network in general is encrypted.
Yeah,
you know.
And we've got that at this point. We didn't in the beginning, but now we do.
And you need to change your passwords every once in a while, and you need to have good passwords.
Yeah.
And as far as what makes a good password, there are a lot of resources online that can tell you how to do that. When I say there are a lot of other simple things that we don't do, what I mean by that is, like, really doing searches on Google or Yahoo or any of the big search engines is you're compromising some things just by using those
stuff
things.
like we throw away or recycle our mail. We don't shred it. That kind of thing.
We shred things in our house.
If a serious identity thief decided they were going to target our household, we would probably be in trouble. And I do certain things, like I visit our bank's website every day and check on our accounts, because in the past people have stolen our debit card numbers and done stuff, and we didn't get busted for any of it. I just check, because immediately then we know. And that's a thing too. I don't generally work with credit cards. I work with debit cards, and I tend to be less concerned about where I use those, because if the number's taken, the worst that can happen is they can take the money that's in the account, which, you know, especially it's like my personal account, maybe $200, you know,
at a given time.
So
yeah.
Whereas a credit card, they could, you know, run up
thousands. Yeah.
Although nowadays with the way fraud protection works and stuff, probably not on the hook for any of it. But yeah, that's stuff I don't worry about. But yeah, if an identity thief, you hear me out there, if you're a listener, I'm flattered. Decides they're going to target us like for serious. But as the same true, if somebody wants to get to your Wi-Fi thing, the password protection, MAC address lockdown, not broadcasting the SSID, all of these things are not enough to stop somebody who knows what they're doing, who wants to get to you.
Sure.
But I mean, it's just, it's not going to come up.
Yeah.
And it's unlikely you could stop them if they really wanted to try to that degree.
But there are tons of places online that will tell you all kinds of things you can do to safeguard your identity from the things you can do online, from the things you can do to your network, from what you were talking about, not throwing away certain things, but shredding it instead. There's a lot of different levels.
And I feel like these sites also have links to where you go to find out how to build your own cellar and keep, you know, supplies down there.
Well, and again, some of them are so simple to do that we do most of them at our house. The things that we don't do, I wish we could figure out how to do, is when we're using the internet, using a search engine that's not capturing all your information that the government can go get, like Google or something like that.
Tor,
exactly. Yeah. The only reason that I don't use Tor is because you can't use, well, like most of my internet work is, you know, I'm creating content and I'm, you know, I need to use YouTube, for example. Well,
Tor's not going to play nice with setting that stuff up. That makes sense. That makes sense.
So that's a big problem. But unfortunately, I mean, I'm not on Facebook right now, but eventually I'm going to have to get back on Facebook for promotional, you know, reasons.
Oh, that's rough.
So, I mean, that's another thing.
Can you at least wait until after the next presidential election?
I don't know.
I feel like that's going to be smart.
But I mean, that's another thing is, do you use Facebook? Well, you're...
Holy crap, yeah.
I mean, that's a whole host of problems that, you know. So, I don't know. But that's probably the only thing
Amazon
in my house.
Amazon follows me everywhere now. Yeah. I go to any website and there are ads targeted to me based on stuff I've browsed or purchased on Amazon.
I mean,
even if I'm in a different somebody else's computer, right. Freaks me out.
Cookies are just, I mean, everyone uses them. Some sites you can't even do anything on them without accepting cookies.
Mm-hmm.
But those things are the way everybody knows who you are, follows you around. They help the government do what they're doing. They help corporations do what they're doing, and you know. That's, again, something that we don't, I mean, for the stuff that I have to do for my work, I've got to be, eventually I'm going to have to be back on Facebook. I've got to be on YouTube. I've got to accept cookies when I go to certain websites. And like you said, Tor is out there to use, and they encourage you to use it. But the way Tor works,
you can't play
you with... You can't do all that other stuff.
Society is now, there's a certain amount of surveillance.
Right.
On the internet, and if you want to play with the internet society, you have to submit to it.
That's right.
Basically, if you don't want your internet stolen, try and have an identity internet stolen. If you don't want your internet stolen, you got to catch all of the waves in the tubes and put them in a jar. I learned to internet. No, if you don't want your identity stolen, don't have an interesting identity. Be boring. Have a credit rating that's not too good, you know? I mean, you don't have to have a shitty one, but if it's not great, people aren't going to steal that and put stuff on that one. They'll steal somebody with good credit. So I try and... That's where I am. I'm not that interesting. I don't have that cool stuff.
I don't.
My credit rating is okay. It's not great. So then nobody gives a damn, you know?
Yeah, I don't think I'm an attractive target for identity theft either. But I don't... Then again, I don't know how... I don't necessarily know how the whole thing works. I mean,
well, and there are identity thieves who don't know how the whole thing works. So you could just get some random idiot who grabbed you. So, you know, we're all going to die.
We're all going to die.
Spoiler alert.
Why do you keep doing that? Stop telling people the end.
Spoilers for William. He dies at the end. That is still a joke in our household. Love that joke. So... I'm watching an episode. I feel like this is a you had to be there thing, but then I told it to my gaming group and they laughed. So, watching an episode of At Midnight, and At Midnight has a regular bit called Hashtag Wars. And what it is, they come up with a hashtag, and the comedians have like 60 seconds to come up with funny ones about it. And the reason it's a hashtag is people online also do it, and then they try and come up with ones. And in fact, the best one gets aired on the episode the next time. And so they had one called Make a Movie Healthier was this one. And so examples were things like baked green tomatoes or some like it hot, but raw food keeps the vitamins, more of the vitamins, things like this. And they were quite creative, and there were several amusing ones. And then Brendan Walsh rings in and just says, Diet Star Wars. And I lost my mind. And every time I think about it now, it still makes me laugh. And it's the laziest fucking joke. But I just loved it. People are getting real creative and puns and clever innuendos and double meanings. He's just like Diet Star Wars. And I loved that. I don't know why. Diet Star Wars. That should be this episode title.
Let me just ask you. Did you see Jupiter Ascending?
No. I'm going to get to it. Like, I'm going to get to Cloud Atlas. But really, I watched Sense 8. I don't know that I need to spend 3 hours to find out that we're all connected and we're all one, you know?
I didn't like it.
Nobody did. The whole world did not like Jupiter Ascending. And really, I feel like it's going to be pretty. But that's what I felt about 47 Ronin. And that movie was fucking not worth my time. So I'm worried about that. I don't expect this to be good, but I expect it to be pretty.
Mm.
Not even that pretty?
Yeah, God, I mean, I guess.
I would risk this a lot more if they were...
You know, again, it's all about expectations. Oh, you know, Iron Sky, same thing. It's all about the expectations you go in with.
Have. Speaking of which, have you watched Sense8 yet?
Well, two or three episodes.
I finally finished it. I finished it. Still loved it. It is a hot mess, and it didn't end as well as I might hope. It buckled a little under the weight of its own mythology near the end, but I still highly recommend it. But it, spoiler alert, maybe, it also has that Wachowski vibe that we're all connected and all people are one and all that stuff. And I really, that's in fucking everything they do. Was that in Speed Racer?
No, and it wasn't in Jupiter Ascending.
Really?
No.
Oh.
Jupiter Ascending is a romance.
I just thought it would be hilarious if the Speed Racer movie had that wedged in there.
I don't think so, and I kind of like Speed Racer, but Jupiter Ascending is a romance. I mean, forget about that it's space, science, whatever, speculative fiction, if whatever. It's a romance, and it's not a very good one.
Awesome.
And it's just like, really, you guys? This is not good.
The same argument could be made of Iron Sky. Totally fucking good. Don't lie. We're at time, so we should wrap this up. Go see Iron Sky and tell us what you thought, because it's on Netflix. It doesn't take that long. Nazi Moonbase. Who's not going to watch Nazi Moonbase?
It's not high art or anything. But
no,
I just
it's definitely
it was,
not that.
I just thought it was funny. Again, low expectations. Maybe that's all it takes.
Go
really
in
low.
With that.
Really
and
low.
I mean, how are you not going to... I'm not sorry I saw it, because how are you not going to see the movie about the Nazi Moonbase? Made by Germans, largely. Like, there were German film companies with most of the stuff in there. It's fucked up. Anyway, check that out. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com. Tell us what you thought. Tell us other things. Whatever. We'll listen.
Yep.
We might write back. We do it sometimes.
Yep.
Like us on Facebook, because we gain self-confidence from that. keep listening. Write in themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com. This show only exists because you write us emails. And because I accidentally let William know where I live. And then we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yep.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.